You see what's happening here? God sent Joseph. I thought his brother sold him. Yeah, they meant it for evil. God meant it for good. There's this tension, this tandem. He graced it to me, but Satan's the one that's giving me fits. Satan's the one that's causing me pain. It's not God.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today as we continue our message, Learning to Live with Liabilities. And Pastor, I'm glad we're going to spend a little bit of time unpacking what we just heard, because I think many of us kind of live in that tension of, like you point out, Joseph did. Here his brothers did something evil to him, selling him into slavery. We read later, God meant it for good. Here we have Paul saying in the New Testament, God graced a struggle in his life. God graced it to me, but Satan's the one that's giving me fits. Help us understand what it means to live in that tension between those two things.
Oh, yeah. And I'm laughing because I'm thinking about the myriads of arguments that I've heard about the Lord doing something as opposed to it actually being the devil. Who did this? Did God do this to me?
Right.
Why did God do this to me? Well, God may have allowed it. God may have authorized it, but God didn't do it. James 1:13, he tempts no man to do evil, and he can't do evil.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's some things that God can't do, and God can't lie, and God can't die, and God can't try, and God can't deny himself. So let me see if I could bottom line it so that you can understand the distinction. When we look at the sovereignty of God, we always look at God as the source.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he is not the agent. So, for example, if you take Job 1, Job 2, God sanctioned what Satan did. And so you have this sovereign source, but you have this sinister agent. And so God said, I'll remove the hedge. You can do anything but. So God put limitations on what the devil could do.
Yeah.
And because Peter says we're the parapateo, that literally means, he says, we are the peculiar people of God. That doesn't mean weird.
Okay.
Even though God does have a few.
Oh, yeah.
but it literally means to be circled about. So it is Job 1 and Job 2, that he has a hedge of protection around us. And the devil can't do anything unless he allows it. So then God is the source, but the devil is the agent. Just like Joseph said,
sure,
you meant it for evil. I am not going to absolve you of human responsibility, but I'm going to focus on my divine resources.
So I almost feel unfair asking this question with so little time left on the clock, but
go ahead. You do it all the time.
Exactly. For the person who says, why would a loving God allow Satan to do such a horrible thing to me?
To develop us, not to destroy us. To build us up, not to break us down. To make us better, not make us bitter.
All right. If you're a regular listener to this broadcast, you know we've gone into this before, and I'm sure we will again. But right now, we need to get into 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as we open our Bibles and continue the message, Learning to Live with Liabilities. Here's Pastor Ford.
If God had to be filled with the Spirit, Jesus is God, he had to be filled with the Spirit, what about us? You got to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Some of us are filled, but we ain't filled with the Spirit. We full of something else, ourselves. We full of ourselves. Anyway, number five. So he could be a sympathetic high priest. For we have not a high priest. We cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But in all points, we're tempted like we are, yet without sin. What does all mean? All means all, that's all, all. He was tempted in every point. Now, did somebody offer him a joint? No, don't even come at me like that. He's talking about broad categories of sin. What are the three enemies in the text? Lust of the flesh, turn these stones to bread. Lust of the eyes, you can have all the kingdoms of the world. And the pride of life, throw yourself down because it's written, he'll take care of you. You ain't got to worry about nothing. That's the categories. And that's every cat. You could trace every temptation back to one of those three. Every temptation. Yeah. What about fornication, adultery, and all that? Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. And number six, so he could shine for God as the second Adam. He's the second Adam. And he did what the first Adam couldn't do. So he shined for God. What do you mean? He exalted God's person. He executed God's plan. He exposed God's power. And he exhibited God's priorities. That's what he did. So, when you look at this, Paul is saying, listen, I want you to know that I am somebody who understands that I need to allow God to have free reign in my life. Now, wait a minute. It's gifted, but the devil's doing it. Now, I think we've seen that very clearly. But didn't James say in James 1:17, but every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning? Yes, he did. He said, every gift is good and perfect. The word good speaks of the quality of a thing, that the quality of it is good. Now, what does that mean? He's telling me he gifted him with a thorn in the flesh, and the quality of it was good. He's saying that he also had it as a perfect gift. Now, anybody remember what perfect means? That which accomplishes what it was created for. Now, put them together. The quality of this pain is good. And the purpose of it is perfect. I don't know about you. I didn't like it. Because Paul, they're saying to Paul, you know what, Paul? We had these false teachers and we believed them because they bragging about all their credentials. They got an alphabet behind their name. A, B, C, D, PhD, EIC, all that, GED, PhD. You don't brag about anything. He said, I could if I wanted to brag about something, I could brag about I went to heaven. But you know what I'm going to brag about? The pain in my body that God gave me as a gift. That's what I'm going to brag about. Because the average Christian doesn't understand that. So that's what I'm going to brag about. I'm going to brag about the fact that even though this thing is debilitating and painful and it's killing me so much, Lord, I told the Galatians that I had to write the letter with my own hands because my eyes were torn for the floor up. I told them you would have taken out your eyes and given them to me because you knew I had an eye problem. Now, how many other times did he talk about this? That's all I know. Two times in Galatians, one time here. If that had been your pastor, can I just tell on myself? Say, tell on yourself. Every time you turn around, you know I got this infirmity. You know I got this infirmity. I've been praying, asking God, you pray for me because you know I got this infirmity. I could do more ministry for him if he take this away from me. You know, if I ain't had to go to the doctor all the time and take all this medicine. So you pray for my healing because you know it. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying when you look at Paul, what brings him to say something about it? His great concern for the believers in their understanding that these people who are telling you everything ought to be hunky-dory, that the Christian life is a tiptoe through the tulips, that you ought to have Teflon tribulation, balderdash, poppycock. It's what it is. Now, if you don't know, that's just proper grammar for saying something that you shouldn't say, you know, yeah. So look it up, balderdash. I got that from my pastor. He's in heaven. He had a brogue in his voice because he was Irish, and he would say, and that's nothing but pure poppycock. That's balderdash. And I looked it up right away. I said, what in the world was he talking about? I said, oh, he was cussing in proper English. So they tell you this, you know? Why didn't Paul name it, claim it? All of his power, everything that he had, why didn't he blab it, grab it, call it, haul it? Because he wants us to know it doesn't always work that way. Don't believe the hype. So, let me give you a couple examples. I'm going to wrap it up. So check this out. God. You know, some people give you gifts. I put it down there. I said, some people give you gifts and you really want to give them back. And they say to you, it's the thought that counts. And you think to yourself, you don't think of me very much. One time I wore a tie and somebody said, oh, somebody gave you that gift, didn't they? I said, yeah. And they in the sanctuary and you want them to know that you appreciated it, right? I said, yeah. How did you know? He said, because, man, as soon as you get out the service, take that thing off, man. Take that. I said, man, stop. It's the thought that counts. And that's what he said to me. Yeah, they don't think of you very much. Anyway.
Well, we'll continue this message, learning to live with liabilities, in just a moment. You know, we all face liabilities in life, struggles and pain. And what do you do with that? How do you faithfully walk with Christ in the midst of that? Well, that's what our teaching from 2 Corinthians is about. And if you're benefiting from listening, would you help us continue to make this teaching available each and every day? It really is your financial support that allows us to produce the program and to bring it to you on this station, online, or through mobile devices. You can give a gift by coming to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. Click on the donate button. There you can give a one-time gift or a regular monthly gift. Again, come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the donate button. Thanks for doing that. If you're just joining us, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, here's Pastor Ford.
So what happens here? Okay, let me give you two examples real quick. Let's take Jacob. Now, you know his story well. Jacob, his name is Supplanter Deceiver. He deceives his father. He puts animal skin on him. So when his father feels him, because his eyes are abated and he can't see well. And he said, the voice is Jacob's, but the flesh is Esau. So he went by his feeling rather than what he was hearing. So you know what happened. He steals his brother's birthright and his blessing. And Esau sells it for a can of Campbell's Chunky Chicken Noodle Soup. So he goes away. Tells his mother, say, your brother going to kill you. Better get up out of here. She says, go away for a short time. How many years did the short time become? 20 years. And guess what? He never saw her alive again. So their conniving had consequences to it. Can I say that again? Their conniving has consequences to it. So then he goes away. What happens? He gets up there. He works for Laban. And what does God do? God does what he always do. So you the deceiver, let me put you with somebody who wrote the book. Yeah, so he put him with Laban, his uncle, because the tricks that he learned, Laban wrote the book. And got 20 years out of him. Got 14 for one woman. Somebody say seven. No, he worked seven and then he worked seven again. So he worked 14 years. So here's the part I want to get to. So now he's getting ready to go back because he's tired of being tricked by his uncle. Say, man, let me go back. Go see my mama, everybody. So he's on his way back. What does he do? Anybody remember? His servant said, Esau's coming with 300 soldiers and army. He did what? Okay, so you have the river here. Here's what he did. He said, here's what I'm going to do. Tomorrow, I'm going to send the cattle first. Then I'm going to send my servants second. Then I'm going to send Leah's children, because I'm just a baby daddy. Then I'm going to send Rachel and her children. And then I'm going to stay on the other side of the river. Here's his design. If Esau start killing up stuff, first he's going to kill the cattle. I'll hear them bleating, and I'll know, hey, before he can get to me, he got to go through the servants. He got to go through Leah and her kids. He got to go through my beloved Rachel. I love Rachel, but not that much. It's like that joke where she said, oh, he said, what you crying for? Because you said you love me so much, you died for me. He said, well, what you crying for? Because you ain't never done it yet. But anyway, so you get that on the way home. So then what does he do? He wrestles with God all night. And finally, God touches his thigh and he causes pain and he makes him limp. Now, some people say, see, you got to wrestle with God and you'll be blessed. He didn't get blessed because he wrestled with God. No. Because remember, he's wrestling with God and God said, oh, that's enough of this. Boom, and touched him. So now instead of wrestling with God, he's nestling on God because he can't wrestle and he can't run. And so what happens to him? God causes him pain. Now imagine him going back across the river. And the kids say, here come Daddy. What? He limping. Daddy, what happened? Man, I lost the fight, but I won the battle. What are you talking about? Well, when you win, you lose. And when you lose, you win. Daddy, what are you talking about? Well, you see, I wrestle with God because I'm the supplanter and the deceiver. And then God said to me, what's your name? And I said, my name is Jacob. See, remember when my daddy asked me what my name was, I said, my name is Esau. But now I'm ready to acknowledge the deceiver in I am the deceiver. I am the manipulator. And that's where God wanted to bring me. So he touched me so I couldn't wrestle and I couldn't run. And when I came to the place where he broke that old spirit, he then gave me a new name that matched my conversion. You are now Israel, Prince with God. And many of us are just one fall away from mightily being used by God. One fall. Now, what did Paul say? Two times he said, so that I would not be exalted, so I would not have pride. What was the purpose? Because I done been to heaven. I done walked through the pearly gates. I done walked on streets of gold. And so I want to come back and write a book. Let me tell you about heaven. I was there. And God said, that would make you proud. And it is an amazing. I tell you all the time, come on, help me out. What are the four things we're proud of which we have nothing to do? We are proud of face, and we're proud of race, and we're proud of place, and we're proud of grace. And so God says, I got to break you. And so I got to give you this because I know this will break you. This will bring you where you will surrender to me. Now, don't be talking about, I know you think right now, oh, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear it. They need this. No, you need it. I need it. Because all of us have some Jacob places in our lives that God wants to get to, and we so busy focusing on God getting somebody else straight that we ain't letting God get us straight. And so here's one other illustration, then we're going to leave. Joseph, I'm just going to read it. Turn to Psalm 105. Or in your app, Psalm 105. Psalm 105. You say, why are you on an app thing? We're just talking about it, that's all. We had a meeting, and we was talking about electronic media. And I remember whenever I've got about three sermons that somebody brought me an iPad and said, welcome to the 21st century. And they bought it for me for Christmas, set it on my desk. I opened it up, I put a sermon on, and then everybody knows the trouble I had with that thing. And by the third sermon, I said, man, I'm done. I'm going back to my paper, man. Because every time I turn around, they're telling me, the first thing that happened was I had the sermon, and the page would flip upside down. And so I would turn it upside down, then it flipped upside down. And I said, what's going on? Why is this thing flipping like this? Then they taught me how to do that. Then it kept going out and coming in and going out. I said, what? Man, No. So let me read it to you. Here's what it says. Psalm 105. Listen to this, Psalm 105. Here's what it says. God says, let's begin, let's break in at, let's break in at 14. He's talking about Israel. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon, who called for a famine upon the land? God called for a famine upon the land. And it says he broke the whole staff of bread. What else did he do? He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. You see what's happening here? God sent Joseph. I thought his brother sold him. Yeah, they meant it for evil. God meant it for good. There's this tension, this tandem. He graced it to me, but Satan's the one that's giving me fits. Satan's the one that's causing me pain. It's not God. Yeah, don't blame that on God. God allowed six officers to be slain. He didn't do it. The devil did it. And all the people who have been slain by officers, God didn't do that. The devil did that. But God allowed it because he's sovereign. And he knows that even when something like that happens, he has a purpose we don't even know about. So, like I said before, some of us are just one fall away from being mightily used by God. Now, here's the next one. I'm just going to give it to you. Here it is. Be prepared to accept no when you ask God to take it away. Be prepared to accept no when you ask God to take it away. We're going to come back, but listen, here's what Hebrews 5:8 says. Even though he were the son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Wait a minute, you mean to tell me in his humanity that Jesus Christ, part of the reason he suffered so that he can learn to be obedient to God? Yes, that's what the scriptures say. That here it is, he understood that going into this wilderness, that God is not the one tempting him to do this, because God doesn't tempt anyone to do evil. It's the devil that's tempting him. And can I say to you as we close, it's the devil that's tempting you. But don't get it twisted. God is sovereign, and he has allowed it. And we need to say in the words of Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, and a really helpful way to wrap up today's time together. Our message is called Learning to Live with Liabilities. And when we recognize God's sovereignty, when we recognize sometimes the purpose in our pain, it does help us learn to, in a sense, lean into that, to trust Him and to grow in our walk with Him. If you want to go back and listen to this teaching again, I hope that you'll just come to our website. You can listen to each and every program there by streaming the program or downloading an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Moody Radio app or if you podcast the program. Both the app and the podcast are free. We'll link you to it when you come to our website. It is treasuredtruthradio.org. And if you don't have the app yet, or if it's been a long time since you've used it, I'd encourage you to check it out today. We recently updated a new version of the Moody Radio app, and you can find that by going to your favorite app store, like the iOS App Store or Google Play, or we'll simply link you to it when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org. Hey, however you've connected with Pastor Ford's teaching, we'd love to know what sort of difference it might be making in your life. You can always give us your feedback by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org, click on the contact link, and let us know how God is using Pastor Ford's teaching in your walk with Christ. Again, come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the contact link. Thanks for doing that and for listening today. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.